This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's been almost 1 year since a Missouri law changed the relationship between St. Louis City's government and its police department. The law ended the city's direct control of the local police force and put that power in the hands of the state. The fallout from that change is playing out in different ways, but it has been particularly messy for people suing St. Louis's police department because who exactly are they supposed to be suing? Who pays them if a jury or judge awards them a $1 million settlement? Is it the city, which controlled the police department for the last 13 years, or is it the state that's holding the bag? This question is not simple, and the legal processes involved are many. But what we know is that the number of affected cases is significant. Over the last several months, St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Tony Messenger has been digging into those cases and questions, and he joins us now. Tony, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here today.
And also joining us is Maureen Hanlon. She's an attorney with Arch City Defenders and has represented multiple clients suing the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. Maureen, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks.
So, Tony, let's talk about the control over the St. Louis Metro Police Department, as there's some history there. From the Civil War until 2013, the state ran it. And then the city ran it until last year when the state took over again. So this was a big change for the department, and it affected many things. But you were drawn, Tony, to the lawsuits against it. Why was that?
Well, because it creates this legal morass where nobody really knows who's responsible for paying these old claims. I think the first case that I came across was the case of Don Clark Jr., who was a gentleman who was unfortunately killed by the police in a no-knock raid, and his family has been suing, and they were suing the city. And then after the law came into effect, the state tried to insert itself and say, well, we're the defendant now. And the fascinating thing about that moment in federal court is that the federal judge wouldn't allow it. The federal judge said, no, you didn't follow the right process. But it opened up this entire question of, did they think about this when they passed this new law? And it turns out, as I reported about a week ago now, that there's a case that's going back more than 10 years now, actually more than 20 from when it began, that is the reverse of what's happening in federal and state court right now. It's somebody who was falsely accused by police back in 2003 and ended up going to federal prison, being exonerated, getting out, suing the city, winning a $2.5 million a settlement. But by the time he got the settlement, the police had gone from state control to city control. Mm-hmm. And the city and the state argued over who had to pay. Well, that case is still ongoing.
Yeah.
And the gentleman, Michael Holmes, still hasn't been paid, even though a jury said that he was wronged and deserved to be compensated for spending 5 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And because that case hasn't been really resolved yet, the fact that you've got all of these other cases that are now dealing with the opposite problem, the police department going from city control to state control, but the same underlying issue, who ultimately pays, the city or the state, it's created a real problem for judges, and the judges are upset.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, federal judge Henry Autry, was very vocal in his courtroom a month or two ago when I covered his case, in which he said, I can't believe that all of these state lawmakers, all of these people who passed this law, didn't even bother to think about the problems that they were creating here.
Right. And on that note about belief and anticipation, and we will be talking about that case on a future show. But Maureen, as an attorney, you are involved in multiple lawsuits against the department. When local control of St. Louis's, the city police, when it ended last year, did you expect or have any kind of anticipation that there would be problems?
So my first indication of the scope of the problems came in the case of Don Clark. So Don Clark Jr. Is one of the children suing for the death of his father. But I knew that there was going to be problems with the idea of the state passing all of these laws and all of these obligations onto the city. Because, one, it's not clearly written, so it's not actually clear what obligations are being held where. But it also adds in new layers of immunities that people can claim, of ways that governments can try to get out of paying judgments or being defendants at all. And it adds time and a lot of difficulties. And so the only people making out well here are the lawyers. So mm-hmm. the lawyers are making out quite well. We have quite a lot to argue about now, but it's delayed the cases. And it's also created a situation where the state legislature is putting more and more financial demands on the city. And the city is trying to use the uncertainty to get out of paying plaintiffs. Mm-hmm. And so the people who are really being harmed here are the plaintiffs. And then frankly, and this is sometimes, I guess, maybe odd for a civil rights attorney to say, the other people being harmed are the individual police officers who are now facing a great deal of uncertainty about what happens if both the city and the state say, we don't want to pay something. And mm-hmm. so frankly, I'm a little surprised we haven't heard more from the police unions when you have situations where both the city and the state are standing up saying, we don't want to pay it, you've got to go after the individual officers.
So there's a lot of confusion going on everywhere. So if it's not the city or the state responsible, you've mentioned that the police officers themselves, would they be responsible?
So I'm going to give you the most lawyer answer of all times, which is to say it depends. Mm-hmm. So there are ways for plaintiffs to sue the entity, the city itself, and then there are ways, obviously, for citizens to sue the officers. And then if citizens sue the officers, the big question is whether or not their boss, the city or the Board of Police Commissioners or whoever's, indemnifies them. And what we've been fighting about in a lot of these cases is who is indemnifying who would be responsible if it's the entity. And then you're getting into also the existence of a variety of immunity defenses, which are judge-created, judge-made-up doctrines, like qualified immunity, sovereign immunity, official immunity, that have been made up by judges to protect government officers where other people would not be protected. And so each case brings up different ones of these issues, different issues of indemnification or immunity, but in all of them, the sort of central takeaway is there's a person who got harmed and there's the people with money who can help correct that harm. And the people with money are either the city or the state, and the city and the state are sort of turning against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Tony can tell me, you know, Tony has view into a lot more of these cases than I do, but that's sort of the theme is you've got individual people holding the bag, and you've got the city and the state sort of playing hot potato with who wants to be the responsible party.
Mm-hmm. Tony, back in October, you came across a legal filing, and it included what you described as, quote, a shocking revelation around 70 separate cases, all lawsuits against the St. Louis City Police Department that are caught in legal limbo. Why did these cases or that number strike you? And what did they tell you?
Well, because I didn't realize there were that many cases pending against the department. But it was in the city's own filing. It was in the appeal of the Don Clark case when Judge Josh Devine told the city that and the Attorney General's office that he wasn't going to allow the Board of Police Commissioners to substitute itself for the city. And in that appeal, the city mentioned you know, this is a big deal. We've got like 70 plus cases that we're dealing with. And to me, that just really helped highlight how big a deal this is. That means there's 70 victims out there. And as Maureen indicated, some of these, actually, some of the victims are police officers. You've got at least one case that's a disabled police officer who has sued the city that says, hey, you forced me out inappropriately and you violated my rights. You've got another police officer, Stephen Cordy, who's suing the city, who's saying that another law that the legislature passed called the Police Officers Bill of Rights means that the city has to defend him in a case in which he was sued, ironically, by another police officer. Mr. Cordy's one of the people who was accused of beating up Luther Hall, an undercover police officer, during the Jason Stockley protests. But the point of his lawsuit is, hey, the city's got to defend me, and if the city doesn't defend me, I owe this money to Mr. Hall on my own. And ultimately, that's bad for police officers, as Maureen was talking about. It's also bad for victims, because it ultimately means the victims aren't going to get their money, because you're going to have all these police officers filing bankruptcy, and victims that would have gotten money from the city or the state for being wrongfully imprisoned or brutalized or wrongfully arrested or whatever the case might be, there's not going to be any accountability. And you know, that's tragic enough for each individual victim, and there may be 70 to 80 of them at this point in pending cases. But that's a problem for St. Louis as a city and as a region, because ultimately that means if nobody's paying, if the city's not going to pay, if the state's not going to pay, if the police officers are going to be the ones who are responsible and they just file bankruptcy and end up having, you know, issues in their personal lives having to deal with this, but the victim never gets paid, then there's no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we improve the situation? You know, the underlying story of there being 70 pending court cases is this is a department that gets sued a lot. There's a story there. There's a reason behind that. And that is perhaps because it hasn't been held accountable.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about legal confusion playing out in St. Louis City over the control of its police department. And we're speaking today with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Tony Messenger and Arch City Defender's attorney Maureen Hanlon. We have Javad Khazali on the line. He's a former federal prosecutor and an attorney with the St. Louis firm Khazali Wersch. Javad, what is your comment for our conversation?
I mean, they're totally right. We have a verdict that is now costing St. Louis taxpayers over $30,000 a month in interest. We have no idea who will pay the verdict. The state's pointing fingers at the city. The city's pointing fingers at the state. We have a trial that's starting on Monday against 8 St. Louis police officers who tear gassed president of the Board of Aldermen, Megan Green. The officers have no idea if they lose the case, will they have to pay for it out of their own pocket, because we're sure going to go after them. They're being represented by the state, who's saying, we're not going to pay the bill. The city's saying, we're probably not going to pay the bill. But the first time on a case that's been pending for 8 years that we've been able to talk about anything was 3 o'clock yesterday with a trial that starts Monday morning.
Javad, you are also the representative of the family of Mansur Balbe, who was shot and killed by a St. Louis City police officer in 2015. You sued the city, and a federal judge came back with a $19 million verdict. And we spoke with you last year about how the city is fighting that in court to avoid paying the settlement. Has that happened yet?
The settlement hasn't been paid. Interest is still running on the settlement. The damages were reduced a little, but the biggest thing that is happening right now is that the city and the state are pointing at each other, both of them saying the other person has to pay this. So there's no movement on settling this. And what's really terrible for the taxpayers is that cases like this run interest. So right now, I think the interest is costing the taxpayer $40,000 a month while everybody points fingers at each other.
Jawad, thank you so much for calling in today. Now, we mentioned the case of Michael Holmes. He spent 5 years in prison after being falsely accused of and convicted for being a drug dealer. And a jury has already awarded him $2.5 million. But the city of St. Louis says that it is the state which has to pay. Maureen, what do you make of this case?
One of the things that's so hard about that case is that you had an appeal in that case last week. And, you know, I'm not one of the attorneys on it, but where you had both attorneys for the city and attorneys for the state stand up in front of the Missouri Supreme Court and say their proposed solution was that no one pay. As Tony sort of outlined, that case has been going for so long that it really highlights what's going to happen to the plaintiffs that we represent, plaintiffs who have had something happen in more recent years, where not only do we have to tell our clients things that are very difficult to understand, like the idea that sometimes even if you can prove a constitutional violation, maybe there's an immunity there, which means you just don't get to sue them for a made-up judge doctrine. But then now, even if you get to sue them, even if you get to have a trial, even if you win a trial, then there's going to be years and years and years more fighting just about who pays the bill. And the other thing I will say about this is that this is all done against this backdrop of the Missouri legislature trying to make even more changes to try to put more and more financial obligations on the city. And so as a city taxpayer, I also have concerns about the solve for this being the state gets to decide what happens with these lawsuits, right? Like as Jawad was pointing out, the state is making decisions not to settle certain cases. But then the city taxpayers probably are going to be left holding the bag, but only after many years of fighting.
Mm-hmm. You know, Maureen, you mentioned the Holmes case. One of the fascinating things about that case is that after the jury issued its verdict, I believe in 2016, of $2.5 million for Michael Holmes, there was this process when the state, which was representing the police department and the officers at the time, because the case was filed during the time when the state was in charge of the police department. So the state's appealing. And there's an assistant attorney general who is going before the federal judge. And when the state appeals, generally in a case like that, you're supposed to pay a bond. So there's this $2.5 million verdict out there that a jury's awarded. And if the state's going to appeal, it's got to put up a $2.5 million bond, generally speaking, in federal cases to protect the verdict. But the attorney general's office argued to the judge, said, no, we don't have to put up a bond in this case because somebody's going to pay. Either the state's going to pay or the city's going to pay. We're going to have these arguments in court, but ultimately, either the state or the city's going to pay. They put that in writing. They argued it in oral argument before the court. And yet now, the city and the state are both arguing the exact opposite. And in the Holmes case argued before the Missouri Supreme Court a week or two ago, the attorneys were like, well, you know, the attorney misspoke 10 years ago. You can't hold us, you know, responsible for that. And that's why it's interesting that the Missouri Court of Appeals, the last court to rule in the Holmes case, which ruled that Holmes ultimately the city should be responsible to pay him his $2.5 million, and that's what the Missouri Supreme Court's considering right now. The Missouri Court of Appeals referred to this as a game of three-card Monty. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of listeners are familiar with that game. You know, it's and I used to see it on the subways in Chicago when I lived there, and it's a con man game, moving the three cards around, and can you guess where the jack is or where the queen is or whatever, and you always lose that game. You always end up, you know, the con man always wins.
And so
and
also,
that's what's happening in this Holmes case right now is he's just not getting his money. And it's very unfortunate.
And the attorney for Michael Holmes, David Owens, told our producer, Danny Wisentowski, that Holmes doesn't care where the money comes from. And Owens compared it to a battle between two insurance companies, you know, and a car accident victim. Doesn't care if it's Geico or Allstate, but somebody has to pay for the medical bills. And he said it's that same situation. Do you agree, Maureen, with that take? I mean, does it matter to you?
So, you know, funnily enough, that's the question that multiple federal judges have asked me. You know, once a judgment has been paid, the primary, once a judgment has been assessed, then the most important thing is that someone pay it, of course. But there's also, in the lead up to getting that judgment, whether or not it's the city or the state, has ramifications in terms of defenses they might raise, in terms of different decisions the State Board of Police Commissioners is now making about access to evidence or discovery. And so, of course, I've always said, let's have everyone. Let's have all the defendants in the room, and let's take it from there. I should note that I think the Missouri legislature has begun to, I think, acknowledge that they've made a mess of this and sort of acknowledge that they've taken on certain that the law is not clear about who has the responsibilities. And there's proposed bills that would shift even more financial responsibilities to the city. So it's kind of a take-backsy. Mm-hmm. So, oh, maybe we did say we'd take it, but actually we want you to have it. And in fact, not only do we want you to have it, we want to make it even more clear that litigation expenses are going to be paid by the city. And of course, both of those, just to deepen the morass here even further, both of those issues create a danger of an unfunded mandate, which is what myself and other lawyers would say is already happening, where the state is violating the state constitution by forcing the city to take on legal obligations. Mm-hmm. So now you're adding another lawsuit on top of these other lawsuits. So at this point, there's lawsuits about the bill, there's lawsuits about what the bill means for who pays, and then there's the original lawsuit. And so, like I said at the beginning, the only people making out well here are the lawyers.
Are the lawyers. And you as a lawyer. Well, it seems like the situation is frustrating, not only for attorneys. Tony, you mentioned the judges. Last month, you wrote that three federal judges have, quote, issued a message to Missouri's legislature to address this confusion. So, I mean, was it the legislature that caused this problem?
Sure, because, I mean, first of all, the concept of the state taking over the city's police department was ridiculous on its face from the beginning. We're one of the only departments in the entire country in which that situation exists. And none of the lawmakers who voted for it would have done that for their own police department in their community. So, I've been opposed to the concept of the state taking over the control of the city's police department from the beginning. But when the state does something like that, And knowing full well that it's been through this process before, to go through it and not be prepared for the legal morass that they were creating, and then to act like, oh, well, there's just some wording things that we're going to fix in the next legislative session, it's really irresponsible. Because here's what very well might happen. There's at least one lawsuit, I think there's two, maybe three actually, about the local control bill trying to seek it to be declared unconstitutional. It's not out of the realm of possibility that the bill that took control of the police department from the city and gave it back to the state is going to be declared unconstitutional sometime in the next year or two, in which case everything starts all over again. Mm. And, you know, it's really just an irresponsible bit of legislating by state lawmakers in Jefferson City. And so the judges are frustrated because Republicans who control the legislature are very fond of blaming judges for being for stepping out of their lane, for being rogue, for being activist if they get too involved in legislation. But here you have these judges who have these cases, and they've got this really confusing mishmash of arguments from both the city and the state, and sometimes contradicting itself. The attorney general, for instance, in a couple of the different federal cases, has taken different arguments in different cases, depending on what serves their purposes best. But the only consistency to it is the city doesn't want to pay, and the state doesn't want to pay. And so these victims are left saying, wow, you know, ultimately, if our constitutional rights have been violated, and if we ultimately get a jury to agree or a judge to agree, who's going to pay? Who's going to be held accountable? And right now, it's nobody.
Well, unfortunately, there will probably be a lot of opportunity to talk about this in the future, but we're grateful for the time that you spent with us. Tony Messenger is a columnist at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and Maureen Hanlon is an attorney with Arch City Defenders. Thank you again.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.